Hey, let's talk about something else. And this is maybe a practice that doesn't think they need new patients, a practice where they're having capacity problems. They can't keep up. They want to produce more, but they feel like they're just slammed and they can't expand for some reason, or just something's going on. Their problem is capacity. Do you see that at all? And if so, what's your approach to that?
I sure do see it. I mean, again, a good percentage of our clients are not over busy, not under busy. And of course, if they do the stuff we talk about, they get busier, so they have to increase their capacity. And this is a key thing, because when we talk about capacity in a dental office, I measure that by production per hour. If you're talking about pipelines, you talk about how many gallons per hour can move through it. When you talk about a care delivery place, you talk about how many dollars production per hour is a doctor doing. Because if he sees more people or does more for the people he sees or gets more done per day, the production per hour goes up. Now, that can sound crass and capitalistic, but it's just easier to talk in terms of production per hour than to say, well, you did 22 of this, 14 of that. We never get through a meeting. So dollars are just a common denominator of all the other statistics, and they're sort of the vocabulary management. So if I've got a doctor that wants to grow and doesn't want to work more hours, he has to increase their production per hour. And it really helps to break this down. So there are the following areas that we break it down into. Production per hour is a function of clinical speed, which is what most people think is the main thing, but it's not the main thing. They think, oh, Bill, you're talking about me producing more per hour. You can just see the assistants in a meeting clench up, going, oh, God, we're already working our butt off, and this guy is talking about pedaling the bike even faster. And I always use that. Remember George Carlin? I think we might have talked about this in another tape, but one of my favorite deals of his was the Maniacs and Morons spiel. Do you recall that?
I don't remember
already?
That one.
He talked about driving, and when you're driving and someone's driving faster than you, you know, they go whipping by you, you go, look at that maniac, you know? And if they're slower than you, and, you know, they're in the left lane, you go, well, this moron, what the heck? Get the moron off the road. Everyone's either a maniac or a moron.
Or these days a schmohawk, but.
But so anyway, that's how it is with doctors in productivity. Like if I go to a doctor that's, let's say, doctor average, that's doing $400 an hour, and say there's a guy down the street that I know that does $700 an hour, he'll go, oh God, you know, has to be cutting corners. What
right, that place is a factory.
Yeah, right, they got it. It's got it. What kind of maniac does that?
Right.
You know. Then I go to the street and I say, there's a guy that does, you know, $500 an hour, and there's someone down the street that does $250. They'll go, what's a moron doing all day? So what I want to point out is this, is when you talk to most doctors, how long is crown prep? An hour. Seating, half an hour. MOD composite, 40 or 50 minutes. I mean, the procedure lengths are not all that different. Some are different. You know, some people take 2.5 hours for a CERAC, some an hour and a half. I mean, clinical speed is a factor, but it's not the main factor. Because I'll see offices with the same sort of clinical speed, but the production per hour, their capacity, can be wildly different. So let's go on with it. There's clinical speed. There's staffing, delegation, and teamwork. Presumably, if you have more staff that you're delegating more to and they're working well together, you can get more done than if you have less staff that you're not delegating to that aren't working well together. Third is facility, equipment, and technology. Presumably with more rooms and better equipped rooms and better technology, you can get more done than with less rooms, less well-equipped rooms, and older technology. And then there's the appointment book control. Everyone's heard about appointment book control. I think, weren't you talking with Amy from Pride?
Yeah, Amy Morgan. She was
Yeah, and I remember too. In the days when that Pride was run by Pride, Jim Pride, I mean, their central operating focus was on productivity per hour and appointment book control, and they were great at it. That Pride tape on appointment book control is a classic, I think, that manual has on it. So there's that, and then last but not least is procedure mix. If you're sitting down doing two crowns instead of one and, well, treatment plans, you're working with bigger bricks, obviously can be more productive. Now, the reason I go into all that is, if you just look at a dental office staff people in real life in the field and say, okay, we're going to produce more per hour, our goals are, we're doing 400, we got to do 500, man, that just tenses them up something awful.
And the doctor too, because I know you're thinking, well, yeah, I don't feel like running from room to room and giving myself stress and I'll have a stroke.
I don't want to be on roller skates.
Right, exactly.
And I never myself, Bill, I never, you know, do any dentistry. So, you know, it's pretty gracious of me to say, okay, just work your butts off, everyone. Now, can I collect my fee? And so the idea, of course, I try to get across is not a matter of pedaling the bike faster. It's a matter of changing the gears on the bike. Or let me use another country analogy. If you ride a horse and it's trotting real fast, it gets real uncomfortable. That when you kick it into a gallop, it smooths out and it goes much faster. But by breaking things down into that areas, you know, each of those areas, we can analyze and work on each of those areas, increase the hourly productivity, and the doctor makes more. You can't really easily make more, except for fee increases, unless you improve one or all of those five areas. So that's how we approach it. And if the doctors that are listening to this tape say, okay, let's break it out. It's not just appointment book control. There's been tons of tapes about that, all kinds of things. But what am I doing as far as staffing delegation? So for the next week, I'm going to have my assistants take note of every time they see me doing something that doesn't require a dental degree. And then at the end of the week, I'm going to figure out how I can delegate more. And I'm going to ask myself, how many times, if I'm in a two-room scenario, is the next patient ready, lying back and bib on, for me to get them started so I can get them numbed up before and finish a hygiene check and have them come in there? Now, that's not roller skates. It's a lot less tense for dentists to have the next patient. Imagine dentists out there, if you could go through a whole day with never having to wait for a patient to be numbed up, you could just go in there, say hello, talk a little bit, and hit it. Your next patient seated there. That's not more stressful. That's less stressful than hurrying up and waiting.
It is. I know Howard Foran always says the number one thing you got to do is add treatment rooms, that if you ever have a time when every treatment room is occupied, you don't have enough treatment rooms. So.
Yes, Howard is the master of stretching the capacity, isn't he? He's so entrepreneurial. So he's always going to be quick to add the rooms, or the associates, same thing.
Yep. Excellent. Well, hey, I don't know if you have more to say about that, but we are almost running out of time, and there's something I want to talk to you about that's, again, I think a term that you developed that you never hear people talk about, but you had an article in Dental Economics not that long ago called Seasonality in Dentistry, which you don't hear about too much, but I know you're a big fan and you think it's something that's really important. Why don't you explain what you mean by seasonality in dentistry?
Yeah, you know what? I have to look. I wonder if seasonality is an actual word. I thought when I wrote the article, I probably should have checked.
Oh, who cares?
Well, anyway, if it isn't, it is now.
Now Verizon's not an actual word.
What isn't?
Verizon. You know, look how well they're doing.
Okay. So anyway, yeah, this kind of is a way to tie everything together. I grew up on a farm, and so
when I never would have guessed.
Yeah, I guess. So anyway, you grow up on a farm, you're very in tune with the seasons, and I believe management is a process, not a fix. That's our whole dogma at my company, is that you don't swoop in, just put in canned solutions and hope they. I mean, it's a process of annual renewal where you set the goals for each year. And you work through a strategy and a plan for each year, and every year you get a little bit better that way. And to me, it's worked really well. It serves people really well, and it's a good ongoing process. Well, being aware of the seasonality can give you additional edges. So just by using, you know, a calendar, I mean, those don't cost a lot. And you look at your coming year. We already talked about planning your vacation times, and if you can't coordinate them, then allowing or planning ahead for temporary stuff. But there's other rhythms of the year. What's the number one new patient month of the year, do you suppose?
Ooh, tough question. I'm going to say January.
No, actually, it's August. For the
back
typical,
to school.
Yes. For the typical family practice, August is the number one new patient month of the year. And so, you know, if I have a practice, no one gets shore leave in August. Your hygienist doesn't get a vacation, and neither do you. In August, of course, the doctors, I'm working for the doctors, not the other way around, so they can tell me the hell with you, I'm taking the vacation.
Yeah, isn't that when everybody goes on vacation? August,
well,
kids are out of school.
Well, I have to tell you, I mean, you wouldn't, if you own a restaurant, you don't take Saturday night off, sorry, you know? And if you're in a family practice, you don't get the last 2 weeks of August off, even if you got a family, because this is your business. Now, again, I don't boss my clients around, they boss me around, but it is important to be aware that that's the number one new patient month of the year. Most offices are set on automatic. August comes by, it's also the number one checkup month of the year because of this back-to-school thing and people getting, and, you know, they get their kids in, their cells come in. And if you're not aware of that and actually adding hygiene time every August, you're just spilling money out of a basket. It's just spilling off. You know, the patients, you would like every patient to come in regularly every year. You have 20 days of hygiene a month. Bam, every month you want them to come in as if they're robots or something. But they work according to seasons. So why not catch the wave when you can catch the wave? Likewise, September sucks up here. Every September, honestly, in my office, from clients and non-clients alike, I get a couple dozen phone calls from people that call up and going, I hear the economy sucks, or my practice fell out. You know, I go, Joe, I mean, every year you call me, and, you know, you ask me, are things going crazy? I say, it's September again, Joe. You know, notice the days are getting shorter, too.